Life Audio.
Hey friend, Heather Creekmore here. So here's the deal. Coaching doesn't have to be scary. In fact, my newest coaching client is so brave. She asked me if I wanted to coach someone for the podcast. And I was like, yes, I do. But oh, are you sure you're okay with that? And she said, yes, absolutely. So today I am coaching for the first time my new client, Presley. She's in South Africa, and we're going to start digging into some of the roots of her body image issues. And the reason I'm playing this for you, the reason Presley agreed to this, is first of all, some of you may resonate with some of the things Presley and I talk about, and so you might actually get or hear an answer for yourself. Others of you just need a little extra push. The coaching is really what you need. Maybe you're scared of the concept of it. Maybe you're not really sure how it works. This is your invitation, your open door to see what coaching is like and how working with me in coaching can really take you to a deeper level as you explore these issues, because I'm going to ask you questions. I'm not going to just let you off the hook, let you just gloss over something. I'm going to make you stop and dig in. And sometimes even when working on our own, it's hard for us to stop and dig in. There's parts of our hearts that we have locked away and we don't want to go there. And so we don't. And that's why you might need a coach. If you do, reach out, heather@comparedwho.me, and I can tell you about all of your options. But for today, we're going to dig into Presley's story, and you'll hear how I coach her. Let's get to the show. Welcome to Compared to Who, the podcast to help you make peace with your body so you can savor God's rest and feel His love. If you're tired of fighting body image the world's way, Compared to Who is the show for you. You've likely heard lots of talk about loving your body, but my goal is different. Striving to fall in love with stretch marks and cellulite is a little silly to me. Instead, I want to encourage you and remind you with the truth of Scripture that you are seen, you are known, and you are loved no matter what your size or shape. Here, the pressure is off. If you're looking for real talk, biblical encouragement, and regular reminders that God loves you and you're not alone, you've come to the right place. I hope you enjoy today's show, and hey, tell a friend about it. Hey, Presley, how are you doing today?
Hey, Heather, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Are you ready for coaching?
I'm ready.
Ready as you'll ever be, huh? Well, this is going to be super painless and super helpful. You know, the first session is normally more of you talking than me talking, just because I need to get to know you a little bit more. But I'm going to ask you in just a second to just share your story, like where and what you remember around how your struggle with body image began. And then if I hear something, I might jump in and be like, okay, hey, stop just a second. Can I ask you about that? So I may interrupt you at points just to go a little deeper on certain things, but okay. This is your time. Like I tell all of my clients, like you certainly don't have to tell me anything that you don't want to tell me. Of course, I mean, you're already going to do that. I'll naturally filter for that. But I would say if there's anything where you're like, ooh, I think this applies, but I don't really want to talk about that. Like pray about that internally, because a lot of times those are the things that need to come out. Those are the kind of, you know, where it's like, oh, I feel silly. I mean, it was just one thing one boy said in the fifth grade, you know, I feel silly mentioning that. But those are the things that we feel shame or silly about. Those are things that need to come out and bring them to the light to kind of help dig through why you feel stuck sometimes. So any questions for me before we get going?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, Presley, will you just share your story? What do you remember? When do you think this all began for you?
That's a good question. And I've thought about that a lot. And I feel like when I think about it, it's like it picks up in certain places and then it chills out for a while and then it'll pick back up in other stages of life. Like I do remember, like as like a 5-year-old kid, maybe even smaller, already recognizing that I was bigger. I felt like I was bigger. Like in my Mickey Mouse bathing suit, my tummy was round, and where other little girls' tummies were totally like they had washboard abs, or touched all the way from knees to thighs. And I was like, that's not how that's supposed to look. So I remember, like, even at 5, wanting to press my legs together if I stood up, so that if I was pressing my legs together, no one could see whether I had a thigh gap or not. Even at that young, like, I'm trying to hide it. So I think at least from that age, but I don't know why. I think it was just my own, like, noticing other kids. And so that's when I noticed. And then I think that just continued, like, through elementary years. But I went to public school up until 4th grade. And then I went to homeschool from 5th grade up until graduation. So it kind of chilled out, because the only comparisons I really had were at home. And next to my older sister, I was kind of smaller than her. So I think it didn't exacerbate any issues, really. But I remember, like, in elementary school, one day I knew it was going to be a picture day. And I think it was about 3rd grade. And I wore one of my dad's t-shirts to school, and it hung down to my knees. And I thought, this will really hide everything, and no one will be able to tell how big I am. And I've seen that picture now as an adult, and I was totally normal size. It's so actually sad to see it now.
Wow.
But I think that same, I still struggle with that right now. Like, in some pictures I see, I will look like a totally normal person to me, what should be normal. And but then other pictures I'm seeing, like, whoa, it's worse than I thought it was.
Yeah.
And, like, so that just kind of that same those same thoughts. And, like, I need to be working towards becoming more of a normal sized person. And so nobody sees that I'm as giant as I am in my head.
Yeah, and remind me, Presley, have you ever talked to a counselor or anything about body dysmorphic disorder? Because it sounds like you probably have a touch of that. I'm not qualified, of course, to diagnose that, but kind of sounds to me like that might be something going on. Have you ever talked to anyone about that?
I have never talked to, like, a professional, but just in, like, dumping all my stuff on my sister, she would say, yeah, but you've always been dis body dysmorphic. And I'm like, really? You've never said that before.
So, okay, so let's go back to elementary school you, and let's just kind of stay there for a second. And if you want to, just like kind of close your eyes and just try to go back there. Is there a specific memory, like aside from remembering pressing your legs together, your Mickey Mouse bathing suit? I mean, you've got several memories, but is there a memory of someone saying something, someone comparing you to someone else, or, a memory even of seeing someone else who had the quote unquote like right body? Like, are there any scarring memories in that time?
I think I think I did see, like, kids that were smaller, but I just thinking about it, I can't think of a particular child. But I can remember, because my mom and dad were going through a difficult divorce, that I remember my mom, and my mom can be kind of I don't know, I'll just say crazy. She can be kind of crazy. And she was going off on my dad about something. And in the moment, I heard her say, because if Presley gets any fatter, I'm sending her to fat camp. And I think that she was just, like, berating my dad, like, because at my house, she eats vegetables, but she says at your house, she eats all this and that, and something about fat camp. But I don't even know if I heard that at 5, or if I was retold the story later by somebody probably shouldn't have told me. But I do remember that. So I don't know if maybe that had an impact back then, and, like, filed it in the subconscious.
I mean, it's not that certainly could, right? Because so let's can we stay there for a second? Are you comfortable staying there for a second, or does that feel really
Yeah.
uncomfortable?
No.
Okay. So I know you don't remember exactly when you heard it, if you heard it live or heard it retold. But like, what is you just think about 5-year-old you or elementary school you, I guess it could be, because we don't know what age. Hearing mom say that, what stirs inside you? Do you feel sad? Like, how do you feel? Are you able to feel that?
If I think about it, it kind of makes me feel like an object rather than a person or a child or someone who's loved regardless of how they're appearing to other people.
Yeah. Are you able to feel sadness around that? You may not be able to. It's okay. I'm just kind of digging here.
Well, my relationship with my mom, because my mom was, she struggled with drugs and kind of living a wild lifestyle. So I think my relationship with her is complicated, and I haven't really ever received any safety from her.
Okay.
So I don't expect it. So it doesn't really hurt. Like I expect it.
You kind of had to numb out to everything coming from mom is not gonna feel good.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so the odd thing about body image issues, right, is that they always connect to all this other stuff. I mean, we want it just to be about the body. We want it just to be, our stuff. But
Right.
there's always connections, right? And so one thing that I would have you do would be to journal about the statement from mom. Write it out. Because here's the weird thing, like with processing things, and like I'm not a professional counselor, although I've done a lot of lay counseling over the years and through our time in ministry. But a lot of the things that hurt us the most, our biggest challenge is we don't feel them because we have done, like, and our bodies do this to protect us, right? Like, we, in our brains, like, we do this to protect ourselves. But it's like, I don't feel that thing that really hurt. What I feel is like I'm too fat. What I feel is I'm too big. What I like, so we just take these issues coming from other places and we just push it into, nope, this is about my body. This is about me and my body. And so like your response to like, does it hurt? Like, do you feel that? Like that's right on, Presley. That like, yes, I like that's what I would have expected you to say for sure.
Wow.
But part of your healing journey for this other stuff, the body and food stuff that you're dealing with, I think we'll be dealing with that hurt from mom.
Yikes.
Yeah, I know. That's not what you signed up for, is it? Just
Yeah,
wanted me to give you five quick tips to feel better in your body, didn't you?
and I was laughing at another podcast I listened to from you where I was hoping for a meal plan. Like I wouldn't have said that out loud, but I was secretly like subconsciously hoping, and just tell me how to eat and what I should think, and
Right.
like that will help. I can read it and I can start doing it and I'll be.
Right. Oh, it's everyone. It's all of us, right? So there's no like shame or embarrassment or because it's every single one of us. Like, please just tell me the 10 things I need to know to fix it, and I will go do those things diligently. And it's like,
Yeah.
you want
And
me to
now that
just
we're talking,
go ahead. Yeah.
now that we brought that up, it just like I've always struggled with binge eating. I would say always as early as I can remember eating. And I have read stuff that says like when you don't have like emotional safety, sometimes kids binge eat, but I still struggle with it. Like even from a little kid, I remember binge eating.
Well, a lot of the, and again, I just need to say this because we might use this on the podcast. Like, I'm not an eating disorder, like certified, like we're not here to like work on your eating disorder specifically. I'm
Right.
happy to send you to one of my friends who does that.
Right.
But it's like, even though you're safe now, I mean, and just like for context, you're married, you are across the world, Presley, living in South Africa. You like, you know, you should be safe from anything from your family of origin, right? And yet somehow we take that stuff with us, right? It doesn't leave when we leave. It carries with us. And that's kind of a bummer, right? But
yeah,
sense to me that the emotional stuff that you've had since you were really little is still at play today. But I think the good news is, I mean, you know, they say this like in addiction recovery, right? Like you first have to recognize it, right? You first have to see it. Like you go into the Al-Anon meeting and you say, "Hi, I'm Heather and I'm an alcoholic," right? Like you have to be able to admit it first, right?
Yeah.
And like in some ways, I feel like for like someone with alcohol or drug issue, right? Like their issue is so perhaps obvious to them and others. It's easier to bring light to it, right? Like people are saying, "Hey, you have a drinking problem. Hey, you have a drug problem." They know, "Hey, I have a drinking problem." But with this stuff, we can keep this quiet all day long and no one knows. It's not obvious. Yeah. And in fact, I would say probably what's worse is that sometimes we get praised for it, right? Like the live podcast that we did with Amy Carlson, right? Where she was talking about that client she had that like for 20 years in church, probably had anorexia and people were praising her for it. So it's not only easy to keep secret, we can also feel like we're doing something right by keeping it secret. So, hey, deep breath here. Let's go back to mom and that statement. What do you think the word fat meant to you back then? What did you think of when you thought of the word fat? Did you have any associations for that word?
I think to me, it must have meant like unacceptable.
Yeah. Because you're little.
It still sometimes means that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That, is that something that, like thinking back, do you remember hearing like that word used in your home? Like, did, you know, I don't know, if someone was on TV, did they say, you know, "Oh, look, she's fat," or, you know, is that a characterization or a label you heard other family members use in a derogatory way?
So I grew up in my dad's house with my stepmom, and I didn't see my mom very much anymore regularly after that, because my dad got custody. But I think mostly then it wasn't like talking about fat people or other fat people. It may just be like Aunt so-and-so has really gotten wide, you know, after a family reunion, or even my stepmom may be talking about herself that she doesn't want to be fat, or we're all going to start the zone diet, or we're all going to, you know, start doing, I don't think it was called keto back then. I think it was called Atkins.
Yeah. Atkins or South Beach. Yep.
Yeah. And we were going to start doing that. And you know, we had workout DVDs and she would try to get us to do that together. And I loved it. I actually latched onto the DVDs and I still love workout DVDs, but I think that it was just not wanting to be fat. Nobody wants to be fat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it's really what you said before that. It's not really about being fat. It's no one wants to be unacceptable. No one wants to be unlovable. No one wants to be wrong or like, and I don't mean wrong as in like right or wrong, but just like not have the right body. Yeah, we all just want to be loved, right? At the core is we just want to be accepted. We want to be seen. We want to be known. We want to be loved. And, you know, the fight or flight system that responds to stress and threat, right? I think for a lot of us kicks in. It's like, uh-oh, threat assessment. This family does not accept fat. Fat is bad. Fat means I won't be accepted. Fat means I won't be loved, you know? And so stress goes high. The alarm bell goes off. Woo, woo, can't be fat. That'll be bad. Can't be fat. And it's like, must take action. What does it mean to take action? It means this. So talk a little bit about, you said you were binging when you were younger. Were you restricting then too with those diets? Like, did you go beyond the diet and try to go without eating? Yes. Or what did that look like?
So I feel like I was the world's worst restrictor. I could, you know, in my mind think, okay, it's really a problem. I'm really fat. I need to solve this. So I'm not going to eat ever again. Never again am I going to eat.
Yep.
And I would last like, and I don't know, as a teenager, I should have knew better than this, but I would last about 2 hours. And like, say I was babysitting for my aunt, I would plan as soon as she left, I'm going to eat everything in her pantry. I can't wait for her to leave because I'm going to eat everything.
Yeah.
Or I would sneak food. I remember being about 10 years old and someone was babysitting us and they had a box, like the big, huge Walmart box of gummy, like the fruit snacks. And I thought, as soon as everyone goes to sleep, I'm going to get those. And I literally army crawled to the kitchen and stuffed my pants with fruit snacks and crawled back and ate them. Do you know how hard it was to quietly eat those aluminum foil wrap?
Presley, I did the same thing. And it's so funny. I wouldn't have thought of it to use that language. That was super helpful. But I remember I said the same thing. I'm never going to eat again. I mean, it is so like silly. You're like, wait, what? Like as an adult, it's easy to see. But I made that vow to myself every night. Tomorrow, I'm going to do better. Tomorrow, I'm not going to eat at all. And then same thing as you, like I would go babysit. For me, it was the people across the street. So hopefully they're not listening. But as soon as those kids went to bed, I was like, yes, they've got good snacks here, you know, and try to, you know, like subtly, because you can't take the last one. And, you know, there's certain rules around eating other people's snacks. But oh, man, I remember that, too. It's like, and I hope in me sharing with you that I did the same thing, you know, that, man, there's a lot of us that struggle in the same way. Right. There was nothing strange or unusual about you.
This is the struggle.
Go ahead.
Now I see that, you know, a lot of people are struggling with that. But back then it was like, if anybody ever finds out that this is the way I am, I'm garbage and I'm going to be rejected. And everyone's going to know the real me.
Right. The shame. The shame not only keeps us quiet about it, right? It makes us feel like we are so weird and that there's like, this is nothing that can be helped. This is just like about me and my own weirdness and stay quiet, you know? And I don't think really, I don't know that culture has done a good job of telling us like, hey, if you are sneaking food, if you are, you know, restricting and telling, like, that's not healthy. Like, that's probably the sign of an eating disorder. Like, we don't get, like, I don't see that on Instagram. Well, the people I follow, I see that on Instagram, but I don't see that on Instagram very much. So, So I hope you feel seen.
Definitely. I don't know why it helps to know that other people also, but it's like sometimes it makes you feel really isolated.
Yeah. It definitely does. But, I think that's the enemy's plan. Make you feel alone. Yeah. So you stay shut up. You're gonna say something.
But I just thought about it now when I was babysitting, I would always be babysitting for my aunt on my mom's side.
Okay.
And she was married to John Daly, the golfer at the time. And she was always like the trophy wife. She was always very skinny. She had the boob job and appearance was very important to her. And I would say she was probably like my second mom. I spent a lot of time with her. So I had some of those values, and then I saw like I don't look like her. Like I'm not 5'2", I'm not skinny, like I just don't look like her. And I think that also maybe played a role in what I remember, like when I was very young, her telling me like I needed to shave my arms, and I was like, oh no. And I remember I wanted to shave my arms, and then I always thought, you know, that is gross if you don't shave your arms. Even though I never did shave my arms, my dad wouldn't let me. But I was like, oh, this arm hair.
Interesting. So what, okay, let's go back to what, like, that was probably, you were probably a young teenager, I'm guessing, at that point, if you're babysitting. Do you remember making any like agreements with yourself, or like I would call them maybe vows, like where you're like, I'm going to be more like Aunt whatever, or I like, do you remember anything like that specifically?
Yeah, I remember asking her like what she ate and like how does she look the way she looks. And so I wanted to, you know, take that template and apply it to myself, but I never could adhere to it. It was like it, she, and she was very like, she just said like, if I want something, I'll just have it, but I'll just have one. And I was like, how would I ever do that? How would I just have one of something? And I could never just do that. I could never moderate or, but I can't really think of anything like wanting to. I did want like the clothes she wore, or I wanted to look like her in clothes. I wanted the thigh gap. I wanted to have a super flat stomach, and I never achieved that really.
So, and the interesting thing about this process, Presley, will be that like some of these memories are probably like super buried. So there's going to be stuff that's going to come up for you now on the call. You'll be like, easy, you know, it just rolls right out. And then like tonight or tomorrow or next week, you might be like, oh my word. I remember that one time she said this thing, and I, you know, like, and after, so just hold space for some more memories to come back. They might not, and don't feel any shame if they don't. There might not be anything else, but for most of us, there's like stuff that we just haven't, like, we just, I guess they would call it repressed if I were a psychologist, perhaps, but there's just stuff we haven't
Right.
thought of for so long. And you might be, you know, like making something specific for dinner, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, like the chicken reminded me of whatever.
Yeah.
So just be ready for that. Just hold space for that. And then what I would recommend you do is write it down,
Okay.
because it might just kind of flip through. And if you're busy taking care of kids and husband and things, it, you might forget it. So just write it down if it comes to you. Yeah. So one of the exercises that I do in coaching, and I know you're doing the course online too, the Body Image Freedom Framework. How far have you gotten very far?
I am on module three,
Module
my
three.
truth track.
Okay, awesome. So I think like the next module is the ideal image exercise.
No, I did
Have
that
you
one.
did that one already?
It took
Oh.
me 2 weeks to figure out who is my ideal image, but I figured it
Uh-huh.
out.
Awesome. Okay. Well, who was it? Hit me.
Kate Beckinsale in Underworld.
Okay. I might have to Google what she looked like in that movie. But tell me about that.
Yeah, so I was a nerd, like a gamer nerd, everything, just, but she in Underworld, she was a vampire, I think, and like a vampire fighter girl, and she had like a leather one piece jumpsuit on the whole movie, and
Okay.
the way she looked in the jumpsuit, that was how I need to look. Like that would be perfect. If I could be her, everything would be perfect.
Yeah. So, did you print out the picture?
I did
You
print out the
did.
picture.
Okay. And then, did you do the next step? Or I don't remember if it's in the course or if I rely on coaching to tell you the next step, putting it on a toilet paper roll. Did I?
It
No,
is. I haven't
that's
gone
not
to.
okay. So the next step that we do in coaching is I have you print her out. Well, you already did that. And then you mm-hmm. glue her to a toilet paper roll. Mm-hmm. And I want you to keep it somewhere where you can look at it a lot. Okay. Now that might sound really weird. Well, the toilet paper roll in itself probably sounds weird. but look at it a lot, because we'd probably need to dig into this a little bit more too. But if she is your ideal, then in some ways she's your idol, right? So in some ways, and we can talk about this. Actually, let's go ahead and just talk about this. Like, you said you liked the way she looked in that clothes. Like, what else? You also kind of mentioned you were a gamer and she was like, I don't know. She was just this tough, like, heroine, I guess. Like, what else can you list, the things that you see in that image that you would be desirous of?
Absolutely. It would be, she was strong. She was agile and like, fit and like acrobatic. She was impressive. Like, she had, I was thinking about also like wanting worship from people. Mm-hmm. Like, she was worshipable. So if I was her, then I would be worshipable. It sounds ugly saying it, but it came to me the other day and I was like, yikes, that is the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Worshipable and maybe enviable too. Right. Mm-hmm. Like if you look like that, everyone would want to look like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea behind making your little idol, your toilet paper roll idol, is my heart is for you to see, I'm going to say, see that idol for what it really is. Right. So like, what is that idol? What is that image calling you to? Like, what is that image calling you to? Like, you could probably answer that question right now. Like, what does that image ask of you?
When I've been trying to obtain that image, it calls me to hours and hours of workouts and meal planning. And my workouts and meal plans has to come before everything else. Like, I would even get aggravated if my kids would keep me from a workout, not on purpose, but I would get aggravated that I'm not going to be able to work out because you're needy right now. And saying it out loud sounds yikes, but that was the truth.
Yeah. We've all, I don't think you're alone in that for sure. So don't let the enemy get in there with shame either. Yeah. Yeah. So she's calling you to live a certain way so you can like maybe have her body. And maybe she's calling you to have your priorities out of whack so you can have her body, right? Or prioritize yourself over, you know, everyone else, which is kind of, that's the only way it works, right? Yeah. What can you think of anything else? So Presley and I did a full 1 hour coaching session, and I will play the rest of that for you next time. Thank you for listening today. I hope something has helped you stop comparing and start living. The Compared You Show is proud to be part of the Life Audio Podcast Network. For more great Christian podcasts, go to lifeaudio.com.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.